Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players Podcast. This is our show for Monday, March 8th. And yes, I did have to check that on my watch. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornatale, back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker. Once again, we're in the midst of Kentucky Derby season, folks. And that is a lot of what we're going to be talking about in the show. We're going to reflect on a big weekend of racing and just shoot the breeze, as we're apt to do on these programs. And to do all of this with me, we bring in the usual co-host. He is safely ensconced in the planet Texas. He's the people's champion, Jonathan Kitchen. JK, what's up with you?
I mean, I got to be honest, PTF, I better warn the listeners. I don't know what it is. I don't know why, but I'm kind of feeling myself today.
Feeling a little froggy?
Yeah, so...
Might jump into some trouble?
Yeah, there's a chance I might say a bad word.
Uh-oh, don't make me edit.
No, it just feels like it's in there. I won't go with the big ones. I'll maybe like the little easy ones you can let slide. But I'm feeling very confident for a couple of reasons, mostly because Sunday morning after losing... more than I should on a UFC fight with Israel Adesanya. I actually, funny enough, I texted our friend Garrett Skiba because I saw him messaging around on Twitter about the UFC fights. And I said, man, I'm alive to Izzy for a lot. Because I always like his opinion. He's got obscure opinions about a lot of different sports because he pays attention to daily fantasy and stuff.
Opinions about a lot of things.
Yeah. And he told me to ride it out. So I did. So I woke up Sunday morning feeling a little bit sad. And then I looked and I realized that the 3-point contest was yesterday. And I looked to see, and Steph was some places was plus 135 and other places was like minus 135, minus 140. And so I texted everyone I know who likes to get down. And I said, whatever you can bet, bet it all on Steph to win the 3-point contest. He was against a bunch of tomato cans. Now, with that said, Jake Ballas is one of the people I got involved in. Some of the texts during the contest were hilarious from Jake. He was
cursing
sending
you.
Oh, he was like, what is going on? And then Steph pulled it out with one shot to go. So I'm feeling good right now. I'm feeling real good.
My favorite NBA All-Star Weekend betting story. This reminds me of the time, I think Blake Griffin was a rookie, and this is the level of sickness I had at the time. I was poking around and doing a little research, and I saw that like he had some sponsorship deal with whatever car that was sponsoring the segment at the game.
Kia. Yeah.
And so I knew that he was sponsoring Kia, and Kia was sponsoring the segment. I mean, I talked to Frank Scatoni, my betting partner at the time. I was like, this is fixed. Like there is absolutely no way he is not going to win this. And here's how correct this was, dude. His plan dunk, in the last round, he tried like three times and missed. And miraculously, then they just had him do like a random dunk and he won. It was absolutely fixed.
Yeah,
we cashed pretty nice on that one.
But look, I told you I'm feeling froggy. I have one of my favorite fixed bet stories is famously Quincy Jones told me who was going to win.
Not the Quincy Jones.
Told me who was going to win the dog show, the Purina dog show. Because it records early. So it's always on Thanksgiving, and I knew who was going to win. I knew that the Bulldog was going to win. So I made
French Bulldog or American Bulldog?
American Bulldog.
That could have been a great bad beat story if you'd gotten the wrong Bulldog.
So I made side wagers with my 8-year-old son and my girlfriend, and I knew the outcome. And Austin, one day when I'm long gone, he'll listen to this and realize that I knew ahead of time.
Oh, I assumed you took it as a teaching moment to both girlfriend and son that you had how you'd put one over on them, and you should never bet on a television sporting event that might be pre-taped. That's sort of that's a valuable life lesson. I would teach Perrin that lesson and take her candy from her. Absolutely.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Oh, that's fantastic stuff. Speaking of Quincy Jones, we never this is like should have been on a podcast 6 weeks ago or whenever the Super Bowl was. But how about that jerk to get his little social media jollies, pretending like he was the bettor's friend, broadcasting the rehearsal of the national anthem? Was that, I mean, I get mad sometimes at gambling. There is a hole in the wall from when they took away from me when they made the mistake with the Best Picture Oscar a few years ago. And I thought I had scored out on the movie with the white people singing and dressed as lollipops when then they gave it to the better film, Moonlight, instead. There's a hole in the wall from how upset I got about that. But I was honestly almost as upset about this because here's this Joker ruining it for everybody.
So this joke is so poorly – it's a poor joke. So I'm going to say I'm just kidding before I say the joke. Okay. But 2020 was a bad year. And when that happened, I thought 2021 was on track to be the same awful year. I'm just kidding. Not comparable. But listen, it's
that's sick.
And look, we had it. Obviously, we've somehow found that to be one of our favorite wagers of the year. And this guy ruined it. He completely ruined it. And I hate him. I hate him. In fact, funny enough, we talked this into existence. I'm making him an honorary member, and they are now the Pick Four boys. No, because I actually like one of the Pick Three boys. So I'll let him out, and then I'll put him in. They're still the Pick Three boys.
Okay, there you go. Keep the number the same. Let's see. What's a good segue from that? You mentioned them. They have a checkered history in contests. There were a couple of contests this weekend. Stephen Wells, who I've had the pleasure of interviewing before, won the Ultimate Betting Challenge. Marshall Graham was second. He's clearly turning things around. When he was on Plus with us to talk about Smarty Jones Day, he said that so far this year, he hadn't gotten a lot going in betting terms, but clearly Marshall Graham turning that form around. We'll probably have, I don't know if we're going to have Marshall or Clay. We'll have one of them on to talk about the races at Arkansas this weekend. But did you have any thoughts on either that contest, or did you happen to notice who won the Naira contest over the weekend?
No, I was following, a couple people in both contests, just seeing how they were doing. And, no, I do know that I think that photo where Crowded Trade got beat by Weyburn. If Crowded Trade wins, I think Jake Ballas has like 20,000.
Ooh. And, oh, that would have been a story.
Yeah, so that I think he probably would have won. But no, we'll I mean, look, it's a lot, you know, there's a lot going on with two contests and one. It was a pretty heavy weekend, right? Like, even just from like a fan standpoint, there was a lot of great races, a lot of big races, important horses running. And then there was also the two contests. There was a mandatory pick six on Saturday, mandatory pick six on Sunday, and then Steph Curry and the
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't lead with that. That is
It was actually a fun game. I don't know if you saw any of the highlights, Pete, but
I did not.
Dame Lillard, Dame Time, shot a three from half court and made it. Next possession, Steph matched him and made it too.
That's fun.
And then to end the game, Dame hit a three from half court to win the game. It was entertaining. It was entertaining for sure.
I followed him a lot in his rookie year, Lillard, and I've always been a fan. All right, let's talk about some of that big racing you mentioned. I said up top we were going to talk about Triple Crown-related stuff. Life is Good is the horse we need to be talking about. This race comes back, a 107 on the buyer scale. The time form U.S. rating, 130, equating to a 110. Speaking to some other figure makers, If the 107 is wrong, it's wrong because it's too low, and I think that's pretty fascinating. I mean, here's a horse who, you know, on the clock, fantastic, and I know some people are like, I don't like the fact that he seemed to be drifting out late in the stretch, but I don't know, man. To me, the hands he's in and what we've seen from Baffert in the past, doesn't that mean he can just still get better as opposed to he's reached any limitations? I also saw some sharp people suggesting that, you know, this was a number that a lot of horses might react from or regress from coming so early in the year. But again, the hands he's in and what we've seen, I don't really have a problem with that. I mean, I'm feeling real good about the 12-1 I have in the bank on Life is Good for the Derby right about now. What there's plenty to talk about this race, but let's just start with the obvious. Give us your feelings on the winner.
You know, the only thing that beats him on the first Saturday in May is trip or tripper. And then maybe distance, but I'm not really
to stay. you know, I'm not going to say he's not going to stay after the pedigree we saw excelling for the same trainer at a mile and a quarter last year. I'm not going to say he's not going to stay, but he's kind of not necessarily supposed to stay.
Well, yeah, but see, they, you know, we talk about this. They say that about every, they say that about all these horses, right? All of them. American Pharoah, is he going to stay? Well, is he going to stay? Is you know, Improbable was one I remember people kept saying, well, is he going to stay? He stayed. He ran well, and he came back and he ran a mile and a quarter race. I think when it comes to the question of staying, right, staying that mile and a quarter, I think that a great substitute for stamina built into the pedigree or into the individual, a great substitute for that and something that can hide that is brilliance. To me, brilliance, like it trumps it all. If you're running triple digit buyers in all three of your starts and you run a 107 in March, I don't give a damn. I don't care. Like he's going to be, and especially the way that race is run, he's going to be seven in front at the eighth pole. He just got to get to the wire. I think brilliance trumps class and I mean stamina at least, and not class. It's probably the same thing, but I think it trumps. I think it trumps stamina, and you know, it's funny. I don't know if I've even told you this, Pete. I actually have a future wager on Life Is Good, but it was kind of a panic moment where a couple of people on Twitter a couple weeks ago were speculating that like something was wrong with Concert Tour. And I was at dinner and I panicked and I was like, if Concert Tour comes down, then I'm not going to, this price is going to drop. And I went ahead and grabbed 6-1 because I thought it was going to drop. And then I talked to Bob and realized that that was all nonsense. And Bob said, if we can bet Concert Tour, let me know.
Yeah. I'm not sure you want to be listening to those guys on Twitter.
Oh, I know. I panicked at the moment and I was like, oh, I thought I was getting an edge and whatever. So, I mean, in hindsight, he closed at 2-1 in the Derby pool yesterday. So I'll take my 6-1.
No, the 2-1 seems absurdly low. 6-1 doesn't seem bad though. That's for sure. But I mean, true or false, this is the most likely Derby winner.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a gray horse in Arkansas and a bay horse in Florida that are a little bit annoyed by that. Greatest honor and essential quality, but they're just not there. They have not run as fast. They have not run a race in their illustrious careers that are as fast as any of the races that this horse has run. So, where do you find how they're going to turn the tables?
Do you feel like Life Is Good is likely to get faster? My argument about the getting out could pretend that there's more for him to learn and or screws to tighten, or are you more sympathetic with maybe what the more classical horse player view would be about, you know, the quote unquote dreaded bounce?
Yeah, I mean, bouncing is for basketballs. I'd never subscribe to it. I want to know if a horse is fast, and if he's fast, I want to know how the race sets up for him today. And if the race sets up for him well, then I'm going to assume he's going to run fast again. Rather than, oh, the race sets up for him, but he ran fast last time, so he's not supposed to run fast this time. Like that's a game I choose not to play.
Let's talk about Medina Spirit. I'll be honest. I'm just going to say it. I do not think he was ridden with his best chance to win that race on that day. I felt like there was a moment in the turn where if it hadn't been a team tactic situation, John Velasquez would have attacked and he still had the double handful and Life Is Good just scooted away and put the race to bed. Now, maybe that was in the end of the day, the only reason Medina Spirit gets within 2 1/4 lengths of Life Is Good. Maybe he just would have been dispensed with and Life Is Good does the same thing. But I will say I'd probably feel even better about Life Is Good if he'd been tested by a class horse like Medina Spirit. Anyway, do you think what I'm saying is nonsense? Do you think there's anything to it? How good do you think Medina Spirit is?
So we had this conversation with a friend yesterday who is often looking for untoward things to be happening, right?
I didn't say it was untoward either.
I'm just saying this is the conversation.
It's within the realm of team tactics and what you expect to see from stablemates. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but I think that the base statement, if it wasn't team tactics, I don't think he's ridden that way.
No. Well, but here's the thing, though. If that horse was trained by Keith DeSormo, ridden by Abel Cedillo, whatever, I don't care. And they say to themselves, this is a derby prep. Let's get points. Do not go over there with that freaky thing. Just stay back here and just try to hit the board. Don't do that. No one really blinks at that. No one really has a huge issue with that, whatever. But for whatever reason, because they're both trained by the same guy, then and then also based on, I think part of it is also there's been conversations about Bob's horses and how they're ridden in races, and you know, the horse that, you know, they people said was blocking for Justify, so on and so forth, right? I think that's part of this conversation as well. To me, Bob knows Medina Spirit's not as good as Life Is Good. So why, when they break on top next to each other, why would Johnny in his right mind duel with a horse that's going to break his horse in half and then have a chance of ruining his business with Bob by breaking his other good horse? And I think Johnny was just trying to let him go. And I think when you're trying to get a horse to slow down, from things I've seen and conversations I've had, you try to get him away from the rail. And so I think Johnny was just trying to get him away from the rail, get him away from Life Is Good. And it ended up taking him to the 3 or 4 path going into that turn. Do I think that there were some team tactics? Do I think that Johnny would have ridden that horse differently if it was for someone else? Maybe. But I also don't have a problem with the fact that, like, Bob knows how good Life Is Good is, and he wants to get Medina Spirit into the gate for those owners. And Johnny, why would Johnny ding dong with his horse? You know, I had no question
in my view, just to clarify my point of view, I had no problem with him not engaging right away, but it looked to me even like on the turn, like there was a moment there watching that tape where it looked like he could have attacked. And even then he was super passive, not gonna engage that horse, which I thought was just would have not been the case if he had been trained by somebody else. And again, I'm not, you know, it's within bounds, but I mean, I bring it up as much as anything. Like, is it possible? Yes, it's possible that Medina Spirit only got that close because he didn't engage him on the turn. But it's also possible that Medina Spirit is better than he looked like this, because he wants to be more of a front runner. And you know, I mean, I just bring it up as a point of discussion. Yeah,
you know, I think here's what I would say. My honest opinion is that people that bet on Medina Spirit are more agitated than the owners of Medina Spirit. And that's not inside information. That's my prediction.
No, it makes perfect sense, because the owners are well on the path to getting a horse in the starting gate of the Kentucky Derby. You know, it reminds me of, we talk about this, and I think you mentioned this on your recent podcast with Naomi Tucker when you were on Talk Racing to me. One of the reasons why spread betting in football is so crazy to you and me is that your goals and the goals of the team are not aligned. And we don't like to admit this in horse racing, where each race is a parimutuel event, and in theory, everybody is trying to win every time they're in the starting gate. That's not necessarily true on the Kentucky Derby trail when you've got a trainer with more than one horse in the race. That's just reality.
Here's the thing though. This is not a conversation that's exclusive to Bob Baffert, right? You see it everywhere when there's multiple horses in races. They're not dueling each other into the ground. One sits off, one goes forward. There's usually a plan. You see it even in, it's not a little bit different with Chad horses and turf races, because his aren't typically forward. But think back to some of the turf races where he's got 3 or 4. They're never like in the same spots, you know, and famously like the Highland Reel and Found thing. You know, that's one of the most famous North American examples of team tactics of two good horses is, that one goes and this one doesn't. And whichever thing happens, one of them will take advantage of that situation.
Yeah. I mean, what was a little different about this is, you know, there was that moment on the turn where it seemed like the horse's best chance to win would have been to attack. But again, it all makes sense for all the reasons you're saying. I'm not outraged by it, but I thought it was worthy of discussion. And I think maybe the most interesting takeaway from it is that Medina Spirit could end up being a little bit better than the bare form of this race suggests. Any other thoughts on Medina Spirit and his future? Dream Shake ran another nice race to be third. Anything else coming out of this one before we move on to some of the other weekend action? Mute button.
Yeah, my bad, Pete. You cut out for a second. What would you say?
Oh, just curious if you had any other thoughts on this race, or specifically Medina Spirit and my theory that he could be a little bit even better than he looked, and maybe an interesting horse somewhere down the line. And I was also looking for maybe a quick comment on Dreamshake, who I thought, you know, didn't really step forward off that awesome debut, but basically looks to have run the same race and you know, is a horse with a future.
Right. Yeah. Medina Spirit is one to me that, like, one thing that he proved back in the Robert Lewis. The Robert Lewis was, you know, just how game he is. Right. So in the Kentucky Derby, when he gets in between horses, he kind of gets into a fight. He's the type of horse that you'd like to have underneath. Do I think he's a Kentucky Derby win type? No. Do I think that he's a horse that'll win some big races throughout the year? Yeah, I think he's a talented horse, and he's got a lot of heart, which goes a long way. I was never a huge Dreamshake guy. I thought Dreamshake was the time to have Dreamshake is when everyone thought Bezos was the next fastest, you know, horse in the world. I know Jake Ballas watched the work about Dreamshake and liked Dreamshake going into that race against Bezos, but he's not one that I've ever, like, I'm curious how he's going to run. I never thought he was winning that race. I thought if it wasn't Life is Good, it was going to be Medina Spirit. And if not that, I thought Doug O'Neill's horse, and I'm blanking on the name, I don't have the chart in front of me, was going to run well. Yeah, I thought that horse could run well. So the only one I need out of that race to answer your question is Medina Spirit.
Let's move on to some of the other races. And yeah, we probably spent four times as much talking about the Santa Anita race than we will these other two. That's my prediction anyway. But let's start off with the Gotham. You referred to it before. Weyburn, very, very game, hanging on just a nose after it looked like Crowded Trade was going to go right by, at least to my, at least by my reckoning. Highly motivated. I felt like he lost his race at the start. Am I being too kind to Highly Motivated? What did you think of this race in general?
I don't know. I mean, good for Jimmy Jerkins. I don't see or need Weyburn moving forward. I thought Crowded Trade ran an okay race. I thought Highly Motivated might have been best, you know, after the start. And then I also, you know, he had that little trouble in there where he got steadied and then he circled. I think the way that Aqueduct's been playing, I might have preferred that he steadied and just stayed there. I don't know if that would have worked. He might not have gotten out, maybe whatever, but I think if he would have stayed there inside, he might have had a better chance.
Track has been a lot more fair.
It has been a lot more fair. Then let's call it fair. Then let's go geometry and let's stay inside.
Fair. I mean, look, it was a debacle, obviously.
And I did think Crowded Trade was going to run by as well.
Yeah, it was tricky. Freedom Fighter one to cut back, as he had looked previously. He'll be one, you'd think, on that Woody Stevens, Alan Jerkins trail. Do you have optimism about Freedom Fighter going forward, or is he going to be just another victim of Jackie's Warrior once that one gets back to his best distances?
Yeah, man, if we lived in a civilized country where you could bet the Alan Jerkins right now. Jackie's Warrior would be my play. No, I mean, Freedom Fighter is talented. It's Bob Baffert. He's going to continue to figure out what it is that Freedom Fighter wants to do. And I thought he ran okay. I don't think he ran bad. I mean, the pace wasn't particularly fast, but I also don't think he really wants to go that far. So you give him a minus for that and a plus for the other, and it's basically a wash to me. I thought he ran okay.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see. I mean, Highly Motivated for me is the one to take out of it. Hopefully, Javier will have better luck next time around after that that tricky start in the Gotham. But I mean, he could be. It's hard for him to fly under the radar with the connections he has. But that one can dream that something will happen where he ends up being a decent price in the wood.
You know, I think. Well, you know, even if he shows up in the wood and he wins the wood, he'll still be the fourth choice. If the other three keep winning, Life is Good, Central Quality, and Greatest Honor, which I predict that they will continue to win, Highly Motivated will be forgotten and be 12-1 on Derby Day.
I was talking about maybe being able to bet him in the wood, not in the.
Oh, I think he'll be hard to bet in the wood.
Yeah,
I think he'll still be favored in the wood.
Yeah, trouble that everybody saw for connections that everybody loves to bet,
and they'll still dismiss Weyburn as a one-hit wonder.
Yes, I can't see him catching too much money.
And I would also imagine that Crowded Trade will go somewhere else.
That also makes sense. I'm not sure that I want Crow to trade though, after not being able to find enough finish to get past Weyburn in that spot.
You know what though, but that was his second start, first time going a mile, second lifetime start. You know, you'd like to think maybe there's a little bit left there.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Maybe I'm underselling Weyburn, but I was thinking if you're not getting past that horse, we're probably not going to hear from you on the Derby trip.
And the last thing I will say real quick is Highly Motivated might actually go to Keeneland. I don't know how. I think the Bluegrass is in 3 weeks. Highly Motivated's win, you know, he had a win at Keeneland, so maybe the logic would be to put him back on a racetrack that he's won on.
That's interesting. Certainly, we'll cut whatever races these horses are coming back in. We will have an opportunity to cover. We'll do just that. Let's move. Let's get a little high in the air here. Take some helium, JK, and talk about this Mark Cassie runner who upset the apple cart. Perhaps not at Weyburn's 46-1, but scores at 15-1. The time form U.S. number came back at 109, well below the standard of what it will typically take to have to make an impact on the Kentucky Derby. And we got the news that this will be his last prep. He's going right to the Derby from here. I think you liked Hidden Stash a little bit in this spot. Ends up running second. Was another one who I thought was winning when producing the run late on. But Helium ends up being too tough. A difficult result for me. Wagering wise, how did you make out? And what did you think?
Yeah, I'm looking the 10, the 8, the 7, the 9, the 4, the 6, the 12, the 5, the 1, the 2, the 3, the 11. You can keep them all. I don't need any of them. Moving forward. I mean, I don't know. I got to be a little bit. I told you I was going to probably be a little naughty.
You're getting froggy now?
I got to say I was a little bit annoyed that when Mark Cassie won this race, considering the fact that he was in the DRF earlier in the week saying that horses aren't bred to run on the dirt. But, I don't know. I hope they do train Helium up. Then there's only 19 horses I have to handicap in the Derby.
Oh my goodness. JK definitely feeling froggy today. I don't know if he was saying that. I mean, I didn't take his comments the same way that you did. I mean, he's a proponent of the synthetic surfaces and has trained a lot of runners on them. I don't think he was saying, I read it, and I'm not seeing this idea of a tapeta surface at Gulfstream as like the evil that some people do. Nobody's talking about taking away the turf or the dirt. They're just talking about having another surface to run on. I honestly don't think it's that big a deal.
I don't mind.
It's something you're looking forward to.
No, I mean, honestly, I think it's kind of interesting as well at Gulfstream. Okay. You know, preserve the DERF. That way we don't have to call it that anymore, you know? And then I think it makes for some interesting racing. I'm not crazy about betting 62.5 claimers on the Tapeta in the middle of a pick six sequence. I can see myself already being a little bit agitated by that move, but on a mandatory payout day, but in a 16 horse field, but I don't have a problem with that. I don't love when people in general make blanket statements that clearly benefit them.
What do you think about synthetic surfaces benefits Cassie? Just his training style. He's more of a guy who trains horses to finish than a guy who trains speed into his horses. So, I mean, there's a logic that he wouldn't be as good. I'm not sure if the numbers even bear this out, but it would be very logical to me if his numbers on dirt were just not as good because of his training style. Is that?
But the other thing is he's got a ton of experience on the surface. He said it in the article, like, if there's someone who's run more races on Tapeta than me, I'm not sure who it is. He's 100% right. I mean, being at Woodbine and running all those horses and all those races at Woodbine, he's got a lot of experience on it. He understands the type of horses that excel on it, the type of breeding that excels on it. He probably has a bunch of horses in his barn that excel on it. He can leave in the summer and come down here. And you know what I mean? He can come down here. It's a thing that kind of works for him, right? So then when a statement is then made that like, oh, but horses aren't meant to run on dirt. Like
they're not meant to. I think he was saying they aren't. I think what he was saying is that like in the wild or whatever, they don't run on dirt. I think that was more like they're animals. They're meant to be. I don't know.
There's lots of desert horses, Pete. Right.
As I was saying the defense out loud, it started to sound dumb, so I just sort of stopped. But I don't know. I, I, I always hesitate though, like isolated quotes in newspapers to take too literally. But
I know I'm honestly teasing, but I'm not joking about having zero interest in helium.
No, that makes nor me. I mean, just on if you like speed figures, you're not going to like helium.
Helium is for birthdays and that funny thing it does to your voice.
Oh my goodness gracious. We'll get you to do that on one of these shows before too long. Let's quickly run through some of these other races at Santa Anita. Going to be a little bit of an abbreviated show today. You and I both have a ton of stuff going on. But Brickyard Ride, I thought was very impressive in the San Carlos, cutting out those very fast fractions on that racing surface, winning by 4, comes back. This is an interesting one. 120 on the raw time form, but I like this upgrade. Upgrades to 125 on the performance figure because of the proximity to that hot pace. Is this horse a serious contender in the sprint division going forward? You know, talking like Breeders' Cup and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's a real horse, and he's also a horse Craig Lewis, I swear he was setting us all up for Met Mile. He's saying this horse will run longer. I predict this horse runs Derby Day in the Churchill Downs, a 7-furlong race on Derby Day. And then we see him in the Met Mile, and he'd be dangerous. Speed kills in those types of races, and he is fast. I mean, they were rolling, and he opened up. And it wasn't like the greatest field ever assembled, but when you run second to the horse that I was tempted to single, then I have to give you credit. I have to mentally upgrade you for that. I thought
You meant that the other way around. When you beat the horse, you were tempted. Yeah,
right.
And here, fun drinking game, especially if you watch JK on his Twin Spires expert videos. Take a drink every time he says dangerous. You will be slobber knocked by race number 6.
Dang.
Let's talk about the Frank Kilroe Mile grade 1 action. I want to ask you about this because this was, first of all, do we need to apologize to the guy yet who said how good the California turf horses were in this division on Twitter, and like a whole bunch of us made fun of him? Hit the road and smooth like straight, run 1-2 against all of our East Coasters in this spot. But I was just curious because Hit the Road, I mean, I had Hit the Road as a contender in this race, and you went 5 deep and didn't use him. I wanted to get your thoughts on Hit the Road coming in and then coming out of the Kilroe Mile. Dan Placker getting a deserved grade 1 win with this horse, who's been a bit of a darling for people who like to look at horses ever since his 2-year-old year.
So I have a lot of things to say about it. So I really like Dan Placker. Very nice guy. A good trainer. I just don't like this horse. And so I will always continue to try to beat him, especially as his fanfare grows. I think there'll be opportunities to try to beat him. He was gutsy, came up the inside, beautiful, good for him. Very happy for Dan Placker and Christina as well. Her video that she had where she was rooting him on, it was really cool.
Yeah, that was super cool.
To the guy who tweeted about these California horses or whatever. Obviously I have some allegiance to our man Michael McCarthy with Smooth Like Straight. But save that celebration for when the real East Coast turf horses show up, right? Like Flavius, I didn't even use. I was not interested in Flavius or Spirit Animal, the two Chad Brown runners. I did think Casa Creed and Social Paranoia were going to run better, and I was wrong about that. I thought those two horses would run well. Something must have gone wrong with Social Paranoia, easing to last. But I wouldn't, you know, they got a bear on their flag out there in California. I wouldn't start waving that flag around quite yet when it comes to the turf division.
You still didn't really answer though. I mean, I look at Hit the Road's PPs and I just see a horse who, you know, had some setbacks and has come back stronger than ever and looks like a legitimate grade 1 horse to me. What am I missing?
Holler at me when Hit the Road shows up at Keeneland. In the grade 1 mile race there, the Shadwell's later. If Hit the Road wins the Makers, then I'll apologize let him show up for the 4-star Dave and pull that.
But
one
is
out
it
of
the what is it? You see, it's like more of an inherent class thing. But I mean, just looking at numbers, he runs numbers as fast as certainly the horses in this race.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he ran a 123 last time, right?
This time,
you know, I mean, Flavius was running 123s back in the day, 124s. Social Paranoia was running, I think he had a 120 and change back in the day. Nope, he didn't. Spirit Animal, I mean, this horse was in for a tag running a 119. I just don't. Flying Scotsman ran a 123 last time. Ride a Comet ran a 127. Casa Creed a 125. I wouldn't. I wouldn't take a free bet on them in the four star Dave. You know what I mean? Like, I just look, good horse. I do have a bias when it comes to these East Coast turf horses, especially when they get off of the home court out there in California. It's just the waters are deeper. That's all.
Let's talk about the Santa Anita handicap, the big cap. Last race we'll talk about on this show. I thought I had it won with Express Train up two, but here comes Idle just grinding and finding and getting past me half a length at the wire. Oh, another disappointment for me and a day of wagering disappointments. But listeners to Billy Koch on the podcast that we did on Friday were happy. This one gets the job done. Perfect Rosario ride, 5-1 for Idle. Let's talk about Idle and Express Train, and then we'll get to what in some ways might be the bigger story of the race, the one who ran third. But what were your thoughts here?
Yeah, you know, Idle ran well. He got a nice trip. You know, he came rolling down the middle of the track and he got a little bit of pace to close into. I would say Maxfield didn't fire. I would say Independence Hall might not won a mile and a quarter, and he ran down Express Train. I thought Idle ran well. Am I going to book a flight over to Europe to bet him to win the Classic? No. But I thought it was a good race. I thought he ran well. I think moving forward, though, you know, these mile and an eighth races, I think Independence Hall will be pretty sneaky. He looked dangerous right when they turned for home.
Drink.
He looked, dang, I'm going to develop a, you know, it's funny. I'm going to develop a complex. You had me.
It's the new yeah, no.
Yeah, but I finally got confirmation that yeah, no's okay. So then I don't care.
Oh, stop. It is not okay. And you don't say it anymore.
No, I talked to a friend of mine who's a New York Times bestselling author.
Besides, you have another friend besides me who's a New York Times bestselling author? Now I'm really feeling threatened.
Maxfield,
you said he didn't fire, but here's his last three figures.
Yeah, no, he ran well.
We have 123 with this time, 122 the time before, 120. I think he just showed his form and found two better. I mean, the even money was really crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess maybe the mile and a quarter, the 3 weeks back. I mean, a lot of things, right, for him. I wouldn't give up on Maxfield moving forward. I think he's still a talented horse. I don't really have a whole lot to take out of this race. The top four finishers, I could see myself betting them and fading them depending on where they show up next, right? If Maxfield goes back to Kentucky and runs in the Ali Sheba, love him. Independence Hall shows up there, no Maxfield, love him. You know, it just Express Train shows up in the next grade three in Santa Anita and none of these other horses are in there, love him. You know, it just depends on where they show up.
Makes sense to me, and I totally agree. I mean, it's a good group of horses. So you think Independence Hall came here with we talked about him on the show. You and I both liked him. Then he had a very nice looking workout report when that finally came out. Do you think it was the distance that told on him?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think so. You know, here's what I will say. If you had to ask me of the top four finishers, who will earn the most money this year? Moving forward, not counting that race, I would go with Independence Hall.
Interesting.
I think Michael McCarthy will find places to put this horse to win big races. And he's clearly got some talent. The other thing is I actually, just to be, and I didn't see this yet, so I don't know the answer. I'm hoping someone did. I was defeated in the pick six and I had to turn the TV off for a little while just to regain my composure. McCarthy was very concerned about how Independence Hall was going to act at the paddock because he's always been a bad actor in the paddock. Yeah. He's trying to get that resolved. And so I don't know if he lost his race in the paddock. If someone knows, please let me know. Cause you obviously it's hard to find that footage now. I mean, I will ask McCarthy, but
ask McCarthy. He'll give it to you straight.
Maybe there's an excuse there. If he ran his race in the paddock, then there's even more reason to lean to him moving out of this race.
I had it on in the background, but we were very distracted. My brother, Perrin, and I were doing Star Wars trivia, and there was some whiskey involved. Perrin didn't get any of the whiskey, so I wasn't noticing the preliminaries probably as well as I should have there on Saturday night. But yeah, I'd like to know that too. But it's going to probably end up being some pretty rock-solid form would be my guess, and I like what you said about the top four finishers. Well, that's all the races we had scheduled. To talk about anything else you want to yap about that happened on Saturday, or you could even just crow about your your score in the 3-point contest again.
Are we going to talk about the 3-point contest some more? I'm just kidding. No, you know, it's going to be a, let me stay out of it. I'm going to talk slow. There is a horse that ran yesterday at Oaklawn. That is a horse that he's not the Yoshida watch list horse, right? But he is a horse that we should pay attention to moving forward. And his name was Noble Reflection for Richie Baltus, Ricardo Santana. He debuted at Del Mar, ran extremely well. And then he drew the rail here in a comeback race and a maiden race for 3-year-olds at Oaklawn. But here's the thing is it was him and a first timer for Brad Cox who ran second. They were taking all the money. I was against Noble Reflection because he was training at Oaklawn and he missed for that weather. He didn't train for like a week and a half off of, August 8th comeback. And so I was trying to get cute and fade him and he absolutely galloped. This might be a real horse.
That's interesting. Very interesting. No figures yet for that one, but the horse ran a 97 on time form on debut, and you got to figure this was an improvement off of that. So we'll keep an eye out for a Noble Reflection in upcoming entries and no doubt talk about him more. All right, JK, feel free to drop because I know you've got to go.
Oh, good. Get ready. Start handicapping your pick five.
Let's talk about that for 2 seconds. Stronach 5, you want to do the show with me this week? We'll bring you back in.
I'm in. I'm in. Awesome. I'm in. I'm going to try to bring somebody else along, but I got to tell him he can't be cussing.
Yeah, I don't want to have to edit. Please don't make me edit. And don't say anything too crazy. A lot of people are going to listen to that show. It's a good week. We're a very good week. We got a lot of great stuff coming up. So we want folks to stay tuned. Daily podcast content here on InTheMoneyPodcast.com and then extra stuff on Plus. Somebody, I think they were offering constructive criticism the other day about In the Money Plus. Did I say DRF the last time I said it? I'm worried I did. But anyway, we're not going to worry about it. In the Money Plus, somebody said, I get it. That sounds cool. It just seems very business-like. I was like, well, you know, we are running a business here. Like that is the idea to be able to actually get paid to do some of the stuff that we're doing. But the deal is basically you get a lot of extra content, including great stats stuff weekly, actionable stats stuff from Matt Vagvolgi. You get summaries of all the shows. So instead of having to like take notes about, you know, who did JK like in that Santa Anita pick six, we send that to you in document form after. And then there's extra shows. Now, we've only committed to doing 2 extra shows a month, but it's been way more than that. We've been doing 1 a week. We're going to keep that going because we're going to have either Clay Sanders or Marshall Graham. I got to figure it out. But one of the 10 strike guys, they both have phenomenal institutional knowledge of Oaklawn Park. And they'll be talking about the Rebel Day Stakes. That will be a ton of fun. So we want folks to sign up for that in themoneypodcast.com/plus to check that out. As for this show, we are done. Thank you, JK. Appreciate your efforts as always. Speaking of 10 Strike, we'll thank them. 10 Strike Racing, one of the founding partners of In the Money Media, as are our friends at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. You can't see it because there's no video on the show, but I'm wearing my little Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation beanie right now. We're off to, we've had some donations, but it's time to really start thinking about making donations to TRF for this year. We want to exceed all reasonable expectations of the amount of money that our audience delivers to them because we're firm believers in their cause, helping retired racehorses and also helping the humans that take care of them through their Second Chances program. We'll have some other fun promos and things coming up, but we encourage you just to give now as well. Make us look good. Help us out and help out a great cause. TRFinc.org/players to find out all about that. Most of all, though, I want to thank all of you, the listeners, for making these shows so much fun to do. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Coatney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kitchen. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos.